Good morning. Hope you brought your Bibles with you this morning. If you did, please be turning to Luke chapter 6. That's Luke chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 46 in just a few moments. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. You know, I am fascinated by buildings that are sometimes referred to as mega skyscrapers. Those buildings that are considered to be among the tallest buildings in the world. I'm fascinated by their design. I'm fascinated by their architecture. I'm fascinated by their construction. I'm fascinated by all the various countries and their quest to be able to say that they have the tallest building in the world. As it stands right now, the tallest building in the world is Taipei 101, which is located in Taiwan. It's over 1,600 feet tall. It's very probable that within the next 5 years, though, that there will be multiple buildings which will be over 2,000 feet in height. But from a period of time from 1998 until 2003, the tallest buildings in the world were the two towers known as the Petronas Towers in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. These two towers measure 1,483 feet in height and are made almost entirely out of concrete. And because they're made out of concrete, they are extremely heavy, weighing over 300,000 metric tons per tower. And when the engineers were preparing to build this great structure, they were surveying the site, and I believe that the site had previously been a soccer field. And that they were doing soil testing in preparation for building the foundation. And as they looked on one end of the site, they found that the limestone bedrock that they wanted to build the foundation on was only 15 meters beneath the surface of the soil. But as they went to the other end of the site, where the other end of those towers was going to be located, they found that the bedrock was 180 meters beneath the surface of the soil. So in essence, what you had was a subterranean cliff, if you will. And they realized that if they were going to build their foundation, that on one end, the foundation would be sitting directly on that limestone bedrock. But on the other end, they were going to have to build some type of a support system, probably concrete pillars, to hold up the foundation, concrete that would go all the way down to the limestone bedrock. But then they began to do the calculations, and because of the great weight of those towers, they realized that those concrete pillars would shorten over time. But the side that was sitting on the bedrock would stay exactly where it was, and so as that concrete began to shorten, those towers would begin to lean, and ultimately they would fail and they would be destroyed. So to solve this problem, they moved the site just ever so slightly to a location where the bedrock was at least 50 meters deep throughout the entire site, and they built the entire structure on these concrete pillars so that as they began to shorten by the weight, they would shorten an equal amount and the tower would stay level. It would stay strong with the forces of the world. Brothers and sisters, at the end of Luke chapter 6, Jesus describes two different places where we can build the structure of our lives. One of those places, which is like that second place where they ultimately built those towers, a place where if we build our lives, that we will find strength, we will find resistance to the forces of this life. But the other, which is like that first location, where if we build our lives there, ultimately we are going to fail. Ultimately we are going to find ruin. We are going to find destruction. And what I want us to do this morning as we go through this text together is to talk about choosing the right foundation. In the opening prayer this morning, it was mentioned about this being the end of the year and how often we make promises to ourselves at the end of the year. We call those sometimes New Year's resolutions. And I believe that the time of the new year is as good a time as any for us to do a check to make sure that we are building our lives on the correct foundation. And so I want us to talk about this morning as we go through the end of Luke chapter 6. In verse 46, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" He says, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house, but could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. This passage is very, very much in parallel to a similar passage found at the end of Matthew chapter 7 in what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. And many times the question is asked, are these the same stories? The one that is in Matthew 7 we know is the wise man and the foolish man. And we've been studying, and those of us that have grown up in the church have been studying that story since we were children, singing about it in a song. But are they the same story? And, you know, I don't know for sure, but even though there are differences, I still believe that it's possible that they're the same story, but I also think that it could be two different occasions and two different stories, because it's not difficult for me to believe that Jesus taught the same things over and over and over again. Anybody who teaches knows that we tend to teach the same things over and over using some of the same illustrations. So it's possible that this could be the same story, but also that it could be two separate stories. But I'm going to refer to that a few times. But I want us to look at this passage. He starts off in verse 1 with what I would call a pointed indictment. A pointed indictment. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" He says, "Why are you honoring me just with your mouth? Why are you just carrying the facade of being one of my followers but not putting that into action? Why are you not following me with your obedience? Why are you not doing the things that I tell you and just honoring me with your lips?" I believe it's more than just a question. I believe it's an indictment on those who were there gathered to listen to him. And I believe that that indictment carries even more weight when we look at the end of Matthew chapter 7 in verse 21. You know, we think about Luke 6 where he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" But then jump over to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. He says, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven." He says, it's not just enough to honor me with your lips. That's not going to cause you to be included in my kingdom just by saying my name, by carrying the appearance of being one of my followers. He says, but those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Who is going to be a part of the kingdom of heaven? Those who do the will of God, not just those who pronounce the name of Jesus with their lips, who carry the facade of being a follower of Jesus Christ. It's going to be those who put that into action. In Matthew chapter 7, he goes on to describe the judgment scene in which those who are just saying his name, calling him Lord, Lord, are arguing on their behalf. And ultimately he says, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." A very pointed indictment, a very heavy indictment, and one that I think that we should take to heart and ask ourselves the question, are we simply honoring God with our lips? Are we simply honoring God with our appearance without putting His principles, His will into action? I believe we should ask ourselves those kinds of questions. And I believe in thinking about this indictment, we should do a personal interrogation. That pointed indictment should lead to a personal interrogation where we ask ourselves some questions in view of Jesus' illustration about these two different places to build the structure of our lives. And in the remainder of the time we have, I want us to go through four questions that now at the beginning of a new year that I think we should be asking ourselves in view of this great story. The first question is the simple one. The first question is, what is the rock foundation? If Jesus says this man built his house on this rock, and when the forces of nature hit this house, that nothing happened to it, it stood firm, then I should want to know, what is the rock? What is the rock foundation? Well, Jesus said that both of these men, both the one that built on the rock and the one that built on the ground, they both heard His word. They both heard His word, but only one of them responded to that word. Well, I can infer from that the foundation, the rock foundation, are the words of Jesus Christ. One chose to act on that, to build on that foundation. The other chose to ignore it. So the foundation are the words of Jesus Christ. There are a number of places in the New Testament where Jesus Christ is described as being the foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says that Paul says that no one can lay a foundation other than that which has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul also says that those who were strangers, those who were aliens, meaning the Gentiles, that they have been brought into the household of God. And that household is built upon the teachings of the apostles and the prophets. Well, what were the apostles and the prophets teaching? They were teaching the will of God. And he says the chief cornerstone of that foundation is Jesus Christ himself. What is the rock foundation? It is Jesus Christ and his teachings. Jesus Christ and his words. The first question we should want to know is, what is the foundation that we should build on? That's the easy one. The next question is a little bit more difficult. The next question is, why would I choose to build my life without a foundation? That second man that's described, it says he built his house directly on the ground without a foundation. Why would I choose to build my life without a foundation? Those who know a lot more about the area of Israel tell me that this story would have been especially relevant based on the surroundings. Because they tell me that in the winter and the spring months, that the waters coming down from the mountains because of rain, because of storms, because of floods, tend to cause these very small streams to overflow their banks. And then in the summer, when those streams dry up, it leaves a very, very sandy, flat area, which is very nice and smooth. And someone who had never been to that area before, who comes in and finds this place, might think, well, this looks like a great place to build because it's already flat. I'm not going to have to do very much work. It's a flat space. I'm not going to have to dig out to try and find a flat area to build. And unknowingly, they might build their structure there. They might build their house there. But when the winter comes, and that those floods come, and those streams begin to overflow again, that area that looks so appealing begins to go away, and ultimately their house is destroyed. Why would someone choose to build without a foundation? If we talk about Jesus saying that this is the one that both hear his words, why would we hear the words of Jesus Christ but not do them? Number one answer to that question. Because we perceive that we do have a foundation. See, we tend to build our lives on the foundation of the things in this life, like money, like success, like our jobs. And we perceive that those things are a good foundation. Now, I don't mean to insinuate that there's anything wrong with having a bank account, with having investments, with taking the necessary measures to make sure that you're protected financially. But it's important to understand that if we put our faith in those things and we rely on those things to be our foundation, that ultimately those things are going to fail us, especially at the end of our lives when we know we can't take those things with us. But when we put our faith in those things, we have this perception that, oh, this is a good foundation. We're not realizing that ultimately those things are going to be destroyed as we are. We think that we have a foundation. Number two, why would we choose to build without a foundation? Because it's easier. It's easier. It's easier to go down that wide path than to go down that narrow way. It's easier to build on a spot that has already been leveled by the water than to go and get my hands dirty and dig to try to find the rock foundation, the flat rock foundation for me to build my life on. It's easier. That first man is described, it says that when he was building his house, he dug deep so that he could lay his foundation on the rock. It's easier to go ahead and find that spot that's already pre-leveled for me, that I don't have to dig and get my hands dirty. A third reason why we choose not to build on a foundation is because we can't have both. We can't have both. You know, we have a foothold in this world. But we know that in order to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, we have to be willing to let that go. So instead, what we do is we maintain that foothold in this life, but then kind of dabble in spirituality. We dabble with becoming a follower of Jesus, and that leads to us professing His name with our lips, but not with our action, not with our obedience. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, Jesus said, very famous passage, that no one can serve two masters. It's impossible for us to have a foothold in this life, but at the same time be a servant of Jesus Christ. And why do we choose not to build our lives fully on the foundation of Jesus Christ? Because we don't want to let go of that foothold that's in this world. We can't have both at the same time. Three reasons why I believe sometimes we choose to build without a foundation. That leads to the next question, the third of the four questions. The third question is, well then how do I build on that rock foundation? I know that the foundation is Jesus Christ and His words. How do I build on that rock foundation? Well, this is again a very simple answer. Jesus describes again both men as being those who heard His words. They heard the teachings that are the foundation. But one man acted on those teachings and the other did not. What does it take to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ? It takes obedience to His word. Well, what is the first step in following His word, becoming obedient to His word? The first step is I have to study His word. I have to understand His word. And as I'm now at the time of the new year and I look at my life, am I spending enough time in God's word to understand what His will is? Am I spending any time in God's word? Am I making it a priority in my life? James chapter 1 and verse 19, James said, "Let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." In other words, put God first, listen to Him first, and put everything else in the background. He goes on to say, put away all those things that are part of the world, wickedness, filthiness. Put all those things away. Let go of your foothold in the world and receive with meekness the implanted word. The first thing is we have to dig to try to find what the will of God is by studying His word, by listening to Him first and putting ourselves in the background. But then not only do we need to spend our time finding out what God's will is, we need to then put that will into practice through obedience. James continuing on says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." The study of God's word is not an end unto itself. We have to let that word have an impact to where we are willing to be obedient to that will. James will go on to describe those who are truly religious, those who are meeting the needs of those who are around them. And I would contend that not only should we be meeting the needs of those who are physically in need, but also those who are spiritually in need. If I'm following the will of God, then I'm going to want to take the teachings of Jesus Christ to those who are lost. I will first study God's word, and then I will take that word and I will put it into practice. Am I spending time studying God's word? Am I giving it a priority in my life? And then am I putting it into practice? When I leave the walls of this building, am I then taking what I have studied, what I have learned, and using it in my daily life? Am I impacting those that are around me? Am I having a positive impact for Jesus Christ? Or once I leave this building, do I kind of turn off my spirituality until I come back? What do I have to do to build on that rock foundation? I have to know His will, and I have to be willing to put it into practice. The final question of the four questions of this personal interrogation: where I'm at right now in my life, what's going to happen to the structure of my life when the storms hit? Whether that storm is some force of the world, or whether that storm is the end of my life, what's going to happen to the structure of my life? Have I anchored my life in something that is permanent or something that is temporary? Again, in Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, verse 19, Jesus says, "Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth." Why? "Where moth and rust does corrupt and thieves break in and steal." If I anchor my life in this earth, then those things that I anchor my life in are going to be destroyed. But Jesus then says, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does destroy and thieves cannot break in and steal." If those corruptive forces come right now, am I prepared to withstand those forces? What's going to happen to my life if the storms come right now? What's going to happen? And if you're in a position where you say, you know, my life is built on the temporary, my life is built on the things of this earth, then today is a great time to make a change. Begin again to build your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Put the focus back on Him and be willing to follow Him with an obedient life. If you've never made the decision before to build your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ, then again, today is a great day to do that. By submitting to Him, by changing your mind about how you're going to live, and by submitting to Him in obedience, first through baptism, then through living an obedient life to Him. If there is anything we can do for you this morning, please come while together we stand and sing.